Well, good morning, and the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, I come to you now and I ask that your Spirit would lead me and that this message would be received in the hearts and the minds of those who hear it, and that they would apply it to their lives, Lord, and that your presence would be felt in their midst and that all things would be brought into your glory, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the title of my message today is forgiveness. And as I was thinking about where we're at in regards to being 2 weeks away from Easter, and also regarding the circumstances that are going on with this pandemic, I thought that the topic of forgiveness would be vital for us to hear today. So, the reason I think that is because when it comes to some of the stressors that are going on right now with work and with finances and being quarantined, I'm sure that a lot of us might be having to deal with or maybe have been offended or wronged or upset by someone during this time. Because it's just kind of natural whenever something is going wrong in the world or if you're stressed, people typically will do things that will hurt or offend people. And I think that it's important for us to remember during these times how important forgiveness is. Likewise, with the pandemic going on, I'm sure a lot of us probably recognize that mortality is a reality for us. That we are not guaranteed tomorrow. That we can't take anything that we thought we could for granted. Our jobs, our finances, our lives. So it's important that we remember that we need to forgive now and not take it for granted or hold it off or keep it from someone. We want to be encouraged as this time is going on to remember that we need to be people who are willing and able to forgive. And then, as I said, the final thing is that we are 2 weeks away from Easter, and I think it's vital for us to remember that forgiveness is one of the primary themes of Easter. The reason that we celebrate Easter is because Christ affirmed the fact through his resurrection that we are forgiven. So I think it's really important for us today to think about forgiveness and to see the significance of it. And I want us to go to scripture to see what the Bible tells us about forgiveness. So I'll be reading out of Matthew chapter 18, if you'd like to turn there with me. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. And the title of this section is, it's the parable of the unforgiving servant. And it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So just to summarize and give a little bit of background to this text, is this parable comes right after Jesus teaches his disciples how to deal with a brother or sister who has sinned against them. And Jesus basically just gives this way and this system of how you take step by step on how to try to reconcile with a brother. And then right after he finishes that, this text comes in and you see Peter asking this question. And he says, Lord, how many times should we forgive those who sin or wrong us? And then that's exactly where Jesus will go into this parable in which he explains that there's this king who is wanting to settle debts. And there's this specific servant that owes him 10,000 talents. And basically the servant begs and pleads with the king and he says, have compassion on me. Please let me pay you. Give me time. And the king gives him compassion and he forgives him his debt instead of throwing him in prison. But then that same servant who was forgiven then goes to one of his servants, and then that servant, it says, owes 100 denarii. And when that servant is begging to be forgiven as well, the servant who was forgiven by the king fails and refuses to forgive his servant. And instead, he grabs him by the neck, he throws him in prison and says, you're going to stay there until you pay the debt. And then the king finds out what the unforgiving servant does. And he is just very much angered by the fact that this servant would not show the same mercy and forgiveness that he showed to him. So then the king then sends him, the unforgiving servant, to prison to pay off his debt. And then Christ reminds us that is how the kingdom of heaven and how God is when it comes to relating with us and the topic of forgiveness. So I think there's a lot of important takeaways that we can have from this text on the topic of forgiveness. The first one that I want to draw out is that forgiveness is supposed to be unlimited and unconditional. So why do I say that? Well, the very beginning of this parable, before it even starts, Peter asks Jesus, how many times should we forgive? And he actually offers a number and he says, would it be 7 times? And you might think and give Peter a hard time and think, well, Peter's being a little stingy here, right? Well, actually, based on the Jewish rabbis, the common number that would be typically used as a way of forgiving someone would be, they usually give you 3 chances. You know, 3 strikes and you're out. So it would seem that Peter was actually being kind of extra gracious by saying, you know, 7 times. So it'd be more than double, 3 times. But then Jesus goes even further than that. And Jesus says, not 7 times, but I want you to forgive those who wrong you 7 times 70. Or some of your translations might say 77 times. Now what Jesus is doing here in the text is he was using the number that Peter used to make a symbolic point. Because the number 7 or 70, that's a biblical symbolic number that has to point to maturity or completeness or perfectness. So, though 70 times 7, that would actually equal 490 times. But I don't think any of us actually think Jesus wants us to get a little notepad out or a whiteboard and start making little tally marks for every single person every single time they wrong us. Because it wouldn't be really feasible to keep track of every single person's sins and wrongs against us to go up to 490 times. Instead, what Jesus is saying is 70 times 7 is a perfect, complete, infinite, unlimited number. So Jesus is saying that you can never limit your forgiveness. You are called to forgive someone every single time. So Jesus expected his disciples to forgive. And this is regardless of any transgression that may occur. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't think that there are certain sins that are a bad thing or that transgressions or wronging someone is good. Jesus isn't saying that by any means. But what he is saying is that you still are called to forgive them regardless of the sin. You are called to forgive those who sinned against you. And you might think, well, you don't know how wrong they have treated me or how bad they are or what these circumstances are or just how I feel or how I've not been able to get over this or I don't have the strength to do it on my own. I hear you. But at the end of the day, Jesus is still calling you to forgive 70 times 7. And this is not only to those who are close to you or your friends, but you were called also to forgive even your enemy. Because throughout Scripture, we see that we're called to bless those and pray for those who curse you or those who abuse you and use you. And Jesus also tells us that we are called to love our enemies. So, we are called then to be unlimited and unconditional people of forgiveness. And you might just say, well, I just don't think that I have the strength to do this, honestly. I don't think that I can actually bring myself to say, you know what, I know everything you've done wrong to me and I'm just going to forgive you. Well, that might be true. And I think that that has been true for myself as well. There are certain times where we have just been so hurt or so wronged by someone that we don't think that we can get over it on our own. But the thing is, you don't have to. Because it would be impossible for us to forgive 70 times 7, to be unlimited and unconditional in our forgiveness, if it weren't for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can make all things possible for us. So if you trust in and seek the Spirit to lead you, the Spirit can give you the ability and can renew your heart and renew your mind and give you the strength to have patience and endurance and be able to forgive even the greatest offenses in your life. So Christ calls us to be infinite and unconditional in our forgiveness. And he makes it possible by his Spirit. Then the second thing that I want to draw out from this text is that we find that failure to forgive leads to being forsaken. See, there's a big contrast in the text here. You have two options. You can either be forgiven or be forsaken. Those are the two options that you have. And when we think about the text, which person do we want to be? Because the servant, as we see, was unforgiving. He failed to forgive, and he was forsaken. Though the servant was given all of this offered gift of forgiveness by the king, he responded by being cruel and harsh and throwing the book at the person that owed him a debt. And we don't want to be like this unforgiving servant. We don't want to be, hopefully, forsaken by the King of the universe, by God Almighty. And this reminds me of an important text known as the Model Prayer, where Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. And he tells them to pray like this. And then he says to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, Jesus expects us to forgive our debtors. And what's scary about this prayer in Scripture here, and a lot of us have probably memorized this and or even recited this at a time or two, this verse And this prayer can actually be very condemning and scary if we don't think about it and choose our words and pray carefully as we say these things. Because what this text is telling us is that if we ask God to forgive us our debts as we are forgiving our debtors, that points to the fact that if we aren't being very gracious or merciful, and if we aren't really offering forgiveness to those who wrong us, then that's going to be the result of how God treats us. So some of you might be tempted to not want to pray this prayer anymore. To say, I don't want God to judge me the way that I've been judging others. But that's how Jesus teaches us how to pray in the model prayer. So I think that reminds us that we have to be sincere when it comes to seeking to forgive others. And this is actions over words. It's good to tell someone that they are forgiven, or that you guys are fine or made up with, or that it's no problem. You've looked over the offense. That's great. But if that's all you do and your actions don't follow, then you don't have genuine, authentic forgiveness. The last text of this parable that I read in Matthew 18, verse 35, it says, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespass." It points to the heart. You have to deep down know and care and want to seek to be reconciled with those who wrong you. And this leads to actions that demonstrate a heart that is sincerely wanting to forgive. So what does it look like to not have sincere forgiveness? Well, if you're someone who says that you forgive them, but then whenever it comes down to them wronging you later on in life, which all of us will sometimes make mistakes, so it's possible we could wrong someone again, and then what you do, instead of just hitting that one specific instance that they've wronged you at this present moment, you go back and you list off all the other times they had done certain other things. But the thing is, if you're doing that, then what you are really doing is saying, I never forgave you for all of this, and I'm going to put all of this together because I never forgave it. So if we truly are forgiving something from the past, we need to leave it in the past. True forgiveness shows that we are no longer going to hold things over your head. So that's one way to think about it. Another way to fail to forgive someone is to say that you're going to forgive them, but then whenever you leave, you talk about them. Or you bring up everything that they did to other people and you let them know how bad they really are. See, we can say that we forgive someone, but if our actions, the way that we treat that person, if we hold things up against them, if we make them look bad to other people, that demonstrates that we don't really want to be in harmony and in peace with these people that wrong us. So God wants us to forgive, and he wants us to be sincere with it. And if you're having trouble coming to the point where you're able to genuinely offer forgiveness, pray for help. Ask God to give you the strength and the ability to offer forgiveness to those who need it. Because at the end of the day, God will judge those who fail to be charitable. It is not your job to make sure that people know when they have done wrong, to make sure that they are not forgiven, or tell them when they are forgiven and make sure that they are basically dependent on you. God is the one who will see everything and judge and determine who has been charitable, who has been forgiving, who has been merciful, and who hasn't. Your only job is called to forgive. Your responsibility is to forgive and to try to reconcile with those who have wronged you, and God will sort out all of the details. So we want to make sure that we act in accordance to our place and our role, and we trust God to do his. And then the final thing that I want to draw out from the text is that mercy begets mercy. See, what I mean by that is this, is we all have fallen short, and we are all in need of forgiveness. And I think we see the extent that we are in need of forgiveness and the extent of our pardon in the text, because the king represents God, and the servant represents sinful humanity. And I think we see the hopelessness that is us when it comes to our sin without the forgiveness of the king. Because it says that the servant owes the king 10,000 talents. Now, whenever I did some studying to see how much a talent is worth, it equates to being approximately 6,000 days worth of a wage. Meaning one talent would pay you for about 6,000 days. And then it says that the servant owed the king 10,000 talents, which to those math geniuses out there, I believe that's around 60 million days. More than a lifetime's worth is how much that servant owes the king. And that is how much we owe God, our Father. That is the debt that we have all accrued in our lives. We have sinned against a perfect, infinite, good God who is just. And then we look then compared to the debt that is owed by the servant to the servant, and it says it's only 100 denarii. And a denarius, as some of you may know, equates to approximately 1 day's worth wage. So 100 denarii would be close to about 100 days, or around 3 months, close to. So when we think about how people have sinned against us, and we say 3 months worth, compared to over a lifetime, they don't compare really when it comes to how much God has forgiven us, or offered forgiveness to us. And that's why it's important to remember this, that each one of us have been offered forgiveness of 10,000 talents by God. And that is what the gospel message proclaims. The gospel teaches us that the king, or God, sent his son to die on the cross for our sins and to pay our debt. Because we owed a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus was willing to pay a debt he did not owe. And if we choose to turn from our sin, and if we trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, that we will be forgiven and we will be granted eternal life so that we can be in eternal and infinite communion with God, the King Almighty. And as we as believers, as we start to truly understand the depth and the amazing grace that God has given us by offering us forgiveness, when we root the gospel message in our hearts and apply it to our lives, it naturally will allow us to cultivate mercy and grace and forgiveness. Because when you realize how many times God has been gracious and merciful and has given you forgiveness, no matter how many times you have wronged him or sinned against him or disobeyed him, and God still says, I love you and I'm going to forgive you. When we recognize how great he is, we naturally will do the same and be gracious and merciful and be forgiving to those who have wronged us. So I think it's a response when you truly receive and root the gospel in your life. It will result in you being someone who is a forgiving and gracious person. Because forgiveness brings freedom. As I pointed to with the gospel message, forgiveness makes us free from sin and death. And it allows us to be able to embrace and be in a right relationship with God. But forgiveness also allows us to break the chains of bitterness that might grow and take root in our lives and our hearts. And when we choose to forgive those, we're allowing ourselves to get rid of anger and resentment and bitterness. And see, some of us might think the reason that we're not forgiving others is because we're getting back at them. We think that, you know, they deserve us not to forgive them. But the problem with that is this. When we choose not to forgive, the person that we're hurting more than anyone else is ourselves. If you choose and fail to forgive, then you'll be like this unforgiving servant. And it results in being forsaken by God. So we need to remember that God has given us mercy, and we should now do likewise and be merciful to others and offer forgiveness. And if you are someone who has chose to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have received the gospel message, be a person of forgiveness. So the choice is yours as a believer and as a person hearing this message today. Are you going to choose to rejoice in the fact that you are forgiven and share that joy and that forgiveness to others, even if they don't deserve it themselves? Or are you going to choose to forsake them and by doing so also forsake yourself? I hope that you will choose forgiveness because, as I said, it's our command by God to do so. It gives us peace. It reconciles us with God and our brothers and sisters. And it brings joy and freedom. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And I pray that this message of forgiveness would just strike the hearts and the minds of your people. And that they would receive it with gladness. And they would apply it to their lives, Lord. And that forgiveness would just be the theme of your church, and that this forgiveness message would go to the world, and that we would just continue to show the love of Christ by being people who forgive and show grace and mercy as you have done through your gospel message, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.